You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sherry Zhang talks to CEO and co-founder of Henry, a tax agency specializing in supporting self-employers, on how the wage subsidy for COVID-19 works, other external costs such as rent, and how tax, ACC and KiwiSaver payments are working during this time.
Obviously, in the wake of COVID-19, with a lot of people either having to work from home or having their income sources completely stopped, the government has provided wage subsidies for both permanent and self-employed workers to help businesses and individuals through this time of reduced income.
And what kind of documents would you need to prepare if you were, you know, wanting to apply for this?
If you want to apply for the work and income subsidy, the Work and Income website has an online form that you can submit and you can fill out, where you have to provide things like your name, your IRD number. You've also got to show the way that you've been impacted by COVID-19. And for a lot of people, that's just demonstrating that they've seen a loss of earnings due to either self-isolation or due to not being able to go into work.
You need to.
So you'd need to provide something that shows that you've had a 30% decrease in income. But the rules around that have been slightly relaxed in terms of it being for last year as well as the last couple of months. So you can essentially show working income that your income has been affected by either having to self-isolate or by the fact that we're at a sort of level 4 on the COVID-19 scale.
And how does this work for subcontractors? Is it still the same process, or is there some kind of other documentation you need to prepare?
No, it's exactly the same. So if you're a contractor or a freelancer, you can apply as an individual for the COVID-19 wage subsidy, and that can all be done through the Work and Income website. If you are a permanent or a salaried employee, then your employer may be applying for the COVID wage subsidy on your behalf.
So I was just reading that said that employers should be giving you at least 80% of your wage through this. Is this something you can explain a bit more?
Yeah, that's right. So if your employer has applied for the COVID wage subsidy on your behalf, the intent is that money is used to, as much as possible, to subsidise your standard pay up to 80% of your usual pay rate. So for a lot of employers, it's about the gaining the subsidy on behalf of their staff to then pass on directly in the hopes of at least being able to pay them 80%. And we found that a lot of employers are actually paying people their normal rate, and essentially what they're doing is topping up from what the government subsidy has provided them. So an employer is getting the government subsidy on behalf of their employees and then topping up over the top to make sure that employees aren't out of pocket.
There's been some people that have been asking, what if employers are making you take out your sick leave during this period so they don't have to pay you? Is that something that they can do, and is that something that's been happening?
So in the last couple of days, the government has clarified this, that the actual the sick leave, if you're self-isolating due to COVID-19, the actual sick leave subsidy is now rolled into the other wage subsidies. So actually the employer can continue to pay you by getting the sick leave subsidy through the usual work and income channels.
Would you be paying your wage on top of sick leave, or would this mean that if you're self-isolating, unable to work, would that just be coming out of the sick leave kind of money?
Well, there's only a single subsidy now.
Right.
So there's a single wage subsidy that covers either if you are unable to work or if you're self-isolating. It's a single subsidy from work and income that covers both.
I was wondering how this impacts small businesses. Do you think the current kind of framework and system and processes is clear and accessible?
I think so. We've seen a lot of small businesses and individuals receive the wage subsidy very quickly. I think that it's the online service and the speed that the government has turned this around is actually incredibly positive. And we've seen people receiving their wage subsidies within a few days of applying, which I think is really positive for keeping small business going and making sure people can still pay staff and people can still have some income in this difficult time.
I was wondering about other costs. So all of my interest in this has been my parents own a coffee shop, and they've been obviously going through this process of applying and sorting out all the documents. And a question that I was talking with my dad the other day was his issue with obviously covering the cost of rent, which he still has to pay to the landlord, and questions around that. So I was wondering if you had any knowledge in terms of those kind of, other than wage, the other external costs that comes with owning a small business.
Well, the actual any changes in rent or any concessions around rent payments and things like that are actually just managed through between yourself and your landlord. And so there may be some provision in your contract that allows for some concession of rent in certain situations. So we've heard of various people being able to get concessions on their rent and taking legal advice on the kind of contractual obligation to continue paying rent in these times. So there are options available for people. We would always advise that people take relevant legal advice to check contracts and to maybe engage professional support before talking to landlords and seeing if there's something that can be negotiated.
And with these wage subsidies, how does this work with paying tax?
There's a bit of a misconception out there that no tax is payable on this wage subsidy, and that's absolutely incorrect. This wage subsidy is taxable just like any other income. So if you are an employer and you apply for the wage subsidy on behalf of your staff, when you receive that, you are to pass that directly on to your staff. You don't declare that as income for yourself. It doesn't have GST on it. But when you pay your staff, you will deduct and pay tax as you normally would for any PAYE or salary payment. And the same for self-employed individuals. If you're a self-employed individual and you receive the COVID-19 wage subsidy, that is taxable income and will be declared as such on your IR3 tax return. And so you will need to pay tax. You will need to pay ATC on this income.
So I presume that also works the same for KiwiSaver if you had opted in.
If your employer is making KiwiSaver contributions, all of the normal deductions, normal PAYE deductions happen when you get paid. Essentially, the COVID-19 wage subsidy is exactly the same as any other PAYE or salary payment that an employer would pay someone. It's just that the money has come from the government rather than from the business itself.
That was Sherry Zhang speaking to James Fuller. And we don't have a lot of time left on the show, but I am keen to know if you have applied for the wage subsidy and how that has been for you. I've heard conflicting accounts. Some people have found it incredibly straightforward, have found it very easy, have received the payment very quickly. Others have not found it easy, have not been able to get through when trying to call to find out more or ask questions, and also not receiving that money coming through quickly. Just to finish though, that piece, Sherry ended up looking further into issues around paying rent for small businesses. Most tenants should be able to apply clause 27.5 in their contract, which was set up after the 2012 Christchurch earthquake, and means a fair proportion of rent can be stopped if the building cannot be accessed due to safety reasons. It's not what exactly clear fair proportion means, and this would be up to negotiation between the landlord and tenant, but good to check that out. Note that this is only for commercial properties though. Residential properties currently have a freeze on increases, and landlords cannot terminate leases during this time unless everyone agrees. But also note that you cannot actually move house at this time, so I'm not sure how that works. That's also a confusing point to look into more. We'll get on to that. Other flexible rules are also set up to help support tenants self-isolating during this period.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.